forecasting methods. Now let's look at some of the qualitative and quantitative forecasting methods. Qualitative methods. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines qualitative forecasting techniques as an approach to forecasting that is based on intuitive or judgmental evaluation. It is used generally when data is scarce, not available, or no longer relevant. Common types of qualitative techniques include personal insight, sales force estimates, panel consensus, market research, visionary forecasting, and the Delphi method. Examples include developing long-range projections and new product introductions. Qualitative forecasts rely on judgment rather than math. These methods lack scientific precision, but can be used on their own in volatile situations or when there are no historical data available, such as for a new product. Sometimes a similar product might be used as a proxy, and this possibility should be explored prior to resorting to a pure qualitative forecast. Qualitative forecasts depend on the experience level of the forecasters, so results can vary widely. This can be true even when a qualitative method is used to adjust a quantitative method. Bias is also a real risk when using qualitative forecasting on its own or after quantitative forecasting. Estimators may be motivated to estimate too high or too low depending on their incentives. For example, a salesperson could estimate too low to make a sales target easy to reach, while a culture of optimism might lead to aggressive sales goals. One way to mitigate bias is to ask estimators to provide a pessimistic estimate, a most likely estimate, and an optimistic estimate. The three estimates can be combined and divided by 3, the simple average, or the most likely estimate can be given more weight. A common way is to multiply the most likely result by 4, but then divide the total result by 6. Two common types of qualitative forecasting are judgmental/expert judgment forecasting and the Delphi method. Judgmental/expert judgment forecasting. Executives, salespersons, market analysts, and others can use their detailed knowledge of their products and their customers, along with their memory of the differences between prior forecasts and actual results, to generate a forecast or, more often, to adjust a quantitative forecast. Tracking these adjustments separately from any quantitative component will help in determining whether these modifications are increasing or decreasing accuracy, and in showing whether they are introducing bias by being consistently high or low. Delphi method. A more involved and sophisticated qualitative forecast can be created by surveying experts and collating their responses into a document that keeps the responses anonymous. The compiler continues to work toward consensus in successive rounds by highlighting areas where there is disagreement and allowing responders to change their responses after reading the current group opinion. Anonymity is used for 2 reasons. First, it helps prevent dominant personalities or emotions from influencing the group opinion, called the groupthink effect. When the groupthink effect is in play, otherwise independent thinkers might become emotionally committed to an unrealistic forecast. The other problem anonymity prevents is a stake-in-the-ground mentality. This is when a person has already publicly committed to a forecast result and doesn't want to lose face by changing his or her declared position. Since the position is anonymous, it is easier to change given more information. This method has had good success at arriving at reliable forecasts, but it is time-consuming and labor-intensive. It is often used only for strategic-level estimation. Quantitative methods, time series forecasting. As defined in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, quantitative forecasting techniques are an approach to forecasting in which historical demand data is used to project future demand. Extrinsic and intrinsic techniques are typically used. Quantitative forecasting uses mathematical formulas to predict future results based on past trends. 2 basic categories are time series and associative. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines time series forecasting as a forecasting method that projects historical data patterns into the future. It involves the assumption that the near-term future will be like the recent past. Time series forecasting is more commonly used because the methods are less complex mathematically and thus easier to explain to decision makers. Time series methods assume that the factors that influence the past will continue on into the future. When that trend is unlikely to be stable, associative forecasting may be needed. There are a number of types of time series forecasting, ranging from the very simple to the relatively complex. Naive forecasting simply assumes that the last period's demand will be this period's forecast. It can be cost-effective, but does not account for trends, and any random spike or trough in demand would be carried forward. The naive method is not discussed further in this text. Other time series methods include the simple moving average, the weighted moving average, and exponential smoothing. We'll examine these in a moment, but first we'll look at some of the steps in time series forecasting. Visualizing. Visualizing the data is an important part of forecasting because you can often spot seasonality or other trend or cycle information very quickly and decide how best to forecast. Exhibit 2-2 shows some visualized raw data for a product with strong demand in the winter months and very low demand in the summer months. Exhibit 2-2, visualize the raw data. Note the linear trend, shown as the dotted line. It is slightly upward sloping. However, the waves are very strong, showing strong seasonality, and this will need to be removed or the results will be of little use. A time series forecast done during a seasonal upswing would predict this upswing to keep on going upward, while your visual review clearly shows that the upswing will very likely go to a downswing in a predictable manner. Therefore, deseasonalizing is the next step. Deseasonalizing. The process of deseasonalizing data, or removing the seasonality, involves generating a seasonal index. How to do this is not addressed here, but Exhibit 2-3 uses data from Exhibit 2-2 to show the results of deseasonalizing. Exhibit 2-3, generating deseasonalized data. Deseasonalizing results in seasonal index values to be used as divisors for the raw data. In the exhibit, January sales are higher than the average amount, and January's index value is 2.214. 32 units were sold in January year 3, and 32 divided by 2, 214, results in 14.45 deseasonalized units, which is very close to the average annual sales level shown at the bottom of the exhibit. This value would be used in the forecasting process. Exhibit 2-3 shows how the seasonal index is calculated for each month for 3 years of raw data, and the values are then converted to deseasonalized values. Simple and weighted moving averages, exponential smoothing. Once the data are deseasonalized, they are ready for use in forecasting with the simple and weighted moving averages and exponential smoothing. The simple moving average is the average of demand from several preceding periods. 3- and 6-month periods are commonly used. For example, a 3-month moving average would be calculated as follows, where M1, M2, and M3 are the 3 most recent months. The example uses data from the last months shown in Exhibit 2-3. This is a moving average because it is recalculated using the most recent set of months or other periods, dropping the oldest month and adding the just-ended month to the list. The simple moving average can be useful when demand is relatively constant from period to period. The method can be used to prevent an overreaction to a random or irregular spike or dip in a given month because it smooths out these variations. However, if there is a change in a trend, this method would be slow to respond to it. It would lag the trend, in other words. The weighted moving average or weighted average forecasting method places weights on the periods being averaged, usually to put greater emphasis on the more recent periods and relatively less emphasis on the more distant periods. While any weighting system can be used, only testing against historical data can prove whether a given set of weights is a better predictor than another set. When calculating the average, you divide by the sum of the weights rather than the number of periods. For example, if the 3rd month out is given a weight of 1, the 2nd month out a weight of 2, and the most recent month a weight of 3, you would divide this 3-month weighted moving average by 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6, for example. Exponential smoothing abandons the averaging of multiple periods, but like the prior method, it does involve weighting. It uses 3 inputs in its equation: the last period's forecast, the last period's demand, and a smoothing constant. A number greater than 0 and less than 1 represented by the Greek letter alpha, which is basically a percentage weighting where 1 equals 100%. One way to calculate exponential smoothing is shown below. It uses the same example of 14 units of December year 3 demand and assumes a smoothing constant of 0.3 in a prior period, deseasonalized exponential forecast of 16.2 units. Using this equation produces a weighted average of previous results. A constant of 0.3 would put 30% of the weight on the last period's demand and 70% on the last period's forecast. This constant smooths out random or irregular spikes or dips in actual demand by placing more weight on the prior forecast. Most organizations select a smoothing constant between 0.05 and 0.5. A constant of 0.05 would give minimal weight to the preceding period's actual demand, while 0.5 would equally weight the actual and forecast results. The constant value is selected by experience, trial and error, and testing against historical data. This method is often used when you want to minimize the lag that exists when trends shift, but like all time series models, it cannot eliminate this lag. Reseasonalizing. Reseasonalizing involves multiplying the deseasonalized data by the given period's seasonal index to find the seasonalized forecast values. This reapplies the seasonality and thus results in the actual forecast values for each month or other period of the forecast. For example, the January year 4 exponential smoothing forecast of 15.54 units would be reseasonalized by multiplying it by 2.214, the January seasonal index, resulting in a forecast of 34.4 units, which might then be rounded up to 35 units since a partial unit cannot be produced. Visualizing to show forecast values. When you are done creating a forecast, it is generally useful to finish by visualizing the data again in chart form. Charts help present the forecast to decision makers since they make the forecast easier to digest. When trends vary too much for these time series methods to be useful in predicting demand, associative forecasting can be used. Quantitative methods. Associative forecasting. Associative forecasting, also called causal, correlation, explanatory, or extrinsic forecasting, uses one or more variables that are believed to affect demand in order to forecast future demand. ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. These variables, from internal or external data sources, act as a predictor of something that is presumed to be correlated. The predictor is called the independent variable. The element being predicted is called the dependent variable, and it could be, for example, demand for a product family. While time series forecasting is best for the short or medium term, associative forecasting is best for long-term forecasting at the aggregate level. Two common forms of associative forecasting are simple and multiple regression analysis, simple regression. Simple regression, also called linear regression, uses a formula to make an association between the dependent variable, I, the element being predicted, and the independent variable, the predictor, with two other elements, alpha and beta. Beta is the slope, which is a value used as a multiplier to find the correct placement of the forecast result. Alpha is the intercept, which is where the slope intercepts zero on a chart. In an example of housing starts compared to roofing sales, if there were zero housing starts the prior month, what would roofing sales be? That is the intercept. Simple regression is basically a method of finding the best fit of a straight line through the actual data. Note that a common alternative version of this formula is I equals X plus B, where M is the slope, is the intercept, and X and Y are the same. Exhibit 2-4 shows how to interpret the formula below and apply it to the roofing sales example. The first thing to do when working on regression analysis is to visualize the data. Exhibit 2-4 shows the prior month's housing starts against the organization's total roofing sales, and a trend line is shown. Exhibit 2-4, simple regression slope and intercept defined for roofing sales example. Exhibit 2-5 shows the same data, but now both housing starts and roofing sales are shown over time. Exhibit 2-5, simple regression slope and intercept defined for roofing sales example. Looking at the data in this way makes it clear that there is some correlation, so further analysis appears to be worthwhile. So how do we tell whether there is enough correlation to use this predictor in our sales forecast? The statistical term that defines the strength of correlation is called the coefficient of correlation, R. The coefficient of correlation will be between -1.0 and +1.0, where -1.0 is perfect negative correlation. An increase in the predictor causes an equal decrease in the predicted element. +1.0 is perfect positive correlation. An increase in the predictor causes an equal increase in the predicted element. And 0.0 is not correlated at all. In our example of roofing sales compared to housing starts, their value is plus 0.79, which means that the element is positively correlated. Squaring the coefficient of correlation yields the coefficient of determination, also called R squared or R2. The coefficient of determination is a statistical measure between 0.0 and 1.0 of how well a given regression model explains the variation in the data when used to predict an outcome. In this case, squaring 0.79 equals 0.6241, so one can say that this predictor explains about 62.41% of the change in roofing sales, with the remaining factors being other causes. Here we have a strong positive correlation worth pursuing. Weaker values below an organizationally determined threshold would indicate that you should find some other predictor. Note that there is a difference between correlation and causation. Correlation is an observation that the change in an independent variable has a measurable effect on a dependent variable. However, just because the effect can be reliably observed over time does not mean that the one thing caused the other thing. It could be that some third force is affecting both of them, or the correlation could be a coincidence. It is important that forecasters apply common sense when selecting independent variables, predictors, or decision makers might reject them. Most forecasters use a data analysis program to generate the values for alpha and beta given historical data. For example, Microsoft Excel can generate alpha and beta values and other statistics quickly. After values for alpha and beta are found, it is a simple matter of plugging the predictor along with these two values into the equation to predict the next period's results. Microsoft Excel can also generate a chart with the regression line shown, as was done to generate Exhibit 2-4, Multiple Regression. Multiple regression is an extension of simple regression. There are multiple predictive variables rather than just one. For example, one could add marketing spend to the roofing sales analysis to determine if this increases or decreases the predictive value of the equation.